We're going to call the AIP committee meeting to order. Paul, would you like to lead us in the pledge?
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We get approval of the January minutes.
Join the meeting.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Buildings and grounds.
Good morning. Got one item for the agenda today. Looking to for authorization to renew the list of maintenance contracts.
Did you? Yeah, do we have a second?
Second.
Did you have anything that was a substantial change from the prior contracts, Eric?
Davis Almer was an increase of about $1,800.
And I don't, I looked over them, but let me see. What was that?
Sprinkler.
So it's like a 10, 15% increase or total?
It's a, yeah, 18 total. I'd have to add them all up.
Okay, was that something that was bid out, or was it just a renewal from an old bid?
So at one point it was from an old bid, and right now, Aaron, we're trying to put everything together to get under one house, and the complexity, it's quite involved to get this bid out. So yeah, that's why we need a little more time. So we're asking to extend it, and then I'll get a formal bid out so we can get some competitive pricing.
For next year or something?
Yeah, it's,
we're working on it right away.
It's within market based on, you know, what we've looked at. It is an increase, but as Eric mentioned, we've historically had departments, you know, with large facilities bid their own, and you know, in a lot of ways that doesn't make sense, and we have multiple vendors to be working with. So yeah, that's why Eric's working to get them all under one contract and then get them out.
That'll be good. Any other questions?
I'll move it.
I think we had a motion and second.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I believe. Yep. Does everybody have their mics on so Hilda can hear you?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Anything else, Eric?
Just a quick update on the Cohocton shop, the rebuild. The main portion that burned, the steel skins are about on. All the structural repairs are done. The roof is going on, is going to start being assembled next week. They have a seaming machine to come down because the roof is seamed together, commercial style. And then we'll be waiting on the weather for the insulation process. That's weather permitted because of the temperatures with spray foam, as a lot of you folks know. So we're kind of held by that at this point, which we anticipated. I'm just making you aware.
How is it on the budget so far?
Good, good. We've been able to work some different things. JJ actually went up there and did some stuff. We ran into, I mentioned to Jack some time ago about some additional pier work, concrete. We actually used one of our certified welders yesterday, which was nice. I was able to just call and tell him to get up there to weld on a plate that wasn't necessarily called for, but we thought it'd be nice in addition. They called their welder. It was going to be an additional $3,000. We used a county individual certified welder, some nice savings, a little additional strength. So we're doing good.
Good. Thanks.
We got wider doors, don't we, for the
wider and taller.
Yep. Good.
And we're going to put, we should be all set to put some protection in the front doors and on the inside, like we've done in the new Caton shop, Ballard's.
Yeah.
Good. So
good.
Additional help.
Because that's one of the things when Scott and I and Vince was up there.
Yep.
To put wider doors on it, taller.
It's tough. It's tough pulling in when you have just enough room, especially with those big trucks, as you guys know, folks know.
Any other questions for Eric? Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Matt.
Good morning. So I believe in January you asked for just a quick update on the comp plan or to get a proposed schedule. So I had that sent out yesterday. I don't know if you all had a chance to take a look at it, but a couple caveats. This is a very preliminary schedule, just kind of what my thoughts would be on how this comp plan process would proceed. I always anticipated this to be about a 2-year project, but once we hire a consultant for this, they will probably come back with a similar chart on how they think the whole process will go over approximately a 2-year period. I feel, just in my opinion, that this is fairly generous in terms of the timelines that I allotted to some things. So very plausible that this could wrap up in an under 2-year timeline. Would also be very surprised if it extended beyond December 2023. But just a quick update on where I'm at. I've identified a majority of the advisory committee for the comp plan, and the next steps is really to finalize an RFP and issue that sometime this month, and have that bid out for about 4 weeks, and then see what kind of proposals we get. And then that advisory committee would be in charge of interviewing those consultants and awarding the contract to see who's going to actually shepherd this process through. So that's really where we're at in the short term. And again, this would be largely in flux based on who that consultant ends up being. So I'd be happy to have any questions on that. Also to that end, I would like authorization to issue that RFP.
I'll move it, Hilda.
And we have a motion and second for an RFP for comprehensive plan. Any other questions on it?
Yep.
John.
Who is made up of the advisory committee?
So the advisory committee currently, as it stands, it is myself, Chelsea Robertson from SDC, Chris Brewer, Kelly, because she expressed interest. Hilda will be on it, Jamie Johnson from IDA, and I have reached out to three supervisors or mayors to have a local representative. I'd like at least one or two supervisors or mayors on the advisory committee, although those individuals have not been finalized. It would be one or two of them.
Thank you.
Yep.
Matt, I think the plan looks good so far, even though it's just the very first draft. Obviously, there'll be more meat coming down the pike.
Yeah, once a consultant's in place, they'll come back with their own timeline. Which will be much more informed on how this whole process is going to play out.
Could you explain to the committee the importance of a comprehensive plan? We don't currently have one, and I just think that it would be good for the legislature to be aware of what the effects of a comprehensive plan are, because it's a pretty large effect.
Yeah, this plan is going to be, you could think of it as like a 30-year vision statement for the county, really taking the time to talk to you individuals, talk to employees of the county, talk to residents of the county, and ask ourselves, where do we want the county to be in 30 years? And then break that down into subsections, be it economic development, environmental conservation and management, like jobs and workforce development, education, public facilities and infrastructure, transportation. I mean, it really is comprehensive in every sense of the word. And then looking out at where we want all of those things to be in 30 years, and then what is our plan just in a general sense on how to get there. It's going to be much more top down because we don't legislate a lot of these things at a land use perspective. So it's going to be from a very high level perspective, but certainly something that will help inform your decision-making over the next 3 decades and inform local municipalities' decision-making if they look to our comprehensive plan for any sort of guidance.
Well, that was one of the things that I was curious about, is how you'd envisioned it affecting local municipal land use and zoning, because I know, for example, there are a lot of projects that when they go through environmental impact statements and things like that, you know, one of the first things they're wondering about is whether the county has a comprehensive plan or anything like that. And so I just was curious myself on how you envisioned it affecting the local municipal planning. Like, are you thinking that it'll be like advisory to them, or that they need that anything they're doing should be in line with the county comprehensive plan? That's probably more of a policy type issue.
Yeah,
just your thoughts on it.
It certainly would be advisory. I mean, I will almost be from like a county planning perspective, if I'm reviewing any local application, I will absolutely have to, one of the additional things I'll have to do is review it through the guise of, is it consistent with the county's comprehensive plan? And if it's not, that certainly would be folded into some of my feedback and comments that I give to them. We can't compel them to abide by stipulations in our comprehensive plan, because they have the home rule powers given to them by the state. I certainly hope, and I would certainly recommend that any of their policies and planning actions are consistent with what the county would like to see long-term. And having a comprehensive plan written and nailed down would just further that.
Okay.
Aaron, can I make a comment?
Yes.
So the city of Corning, I mentioned before, has had a comprehensive plan, master plan, getting ready to update it. And basically it helps set priority on what they're looking at and advice. And in this case, it could be helping the municipalities to help them with their planning, so that even though we might be advisory, we might be able to help set their goals.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and that said, if any legislator would like to sit on an advisory council meeting or is curious at any point on where this is in the process, I'm sure you're all going to have a lot of questions and be very curious as this plays out. Please open door policy and just let me know.
Any other questions for Matt on this issue? I think we already have a motion and second on it, correct? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
All right. Thank you.
Jen is here. Nate's online. I don't know who's
going to. Jen, were you going to present, or was Nate going to be?
Nathan's going to do it.
Okay.
You're I'll up, do Nate. It as long as you can all hear me.
We can hear you.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Asking for authorization to reclassify a full-time senior typist in buildings and grounds to an office manager position. And this is a position, it's a long-standing position that has really morphed over a decades probably, where, you know, originally it started out as a regular clerical position, and it has turned into something that is truly an office manager position with the you know, accounts and day-to-day operations of the office, as well as assisting with other offices, including purchasing and weights and measures. So looking at all of the duties of the position and responsibilities, the office manager title fits it much, much better.
So moved.
Second.
I'll move it.
We have a motion and second. Any questions for Nate?
This falls within the budget, right, Nate?
It does.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Anything Thank else, you. Nate?
No, I'm good.
Jack?
Thank you. Have three items for you today. As I sent an email to you folks, we received two ARPA requests that fall under this committee in the past month since your last meeting, and presenting these for your consideration. The first is Finger Lakes SPCA sent along the letter that they have sent to our office, and what they're looking to do is to install a generator, a 60 kilowatt generator, for essentially power backup for their animal shelter facility, about 6,000 square feet. Now, I did have some internal conversations. You know, even with cost escalation, that's a healthy number. That's on the certainly on the higher side. You know, probably, depending upon what they want to do, if they want to generate their whole complex, then that's probably appropriate. If it's just for that facility, that certainly is a conservative estimate. To me, you know, if you're looking for a recommendation, this does have a county connection. They do help the county in the provision of services. You know, I sort of personally, again, it's completely your decision, obviously, but I sort of viewed this in a lot of ways, like maybe the fairgrounds or others where there's a county connection for either residents or county operations. That does make sense. And we would, the county operations would in fact benefit from this. If you did not want to fund the entire amount, obviously 65,000, you know, I'm sure 30 or 40,000 would go a very long way. This would be unrestricted. This would be unrestricted funding. And you have sufficient funds to cover all 65 or something south of that.
I'm not interested personally in funding it, but I'm sure other people are, and I'm happy to let people speak on it.
Have they had issues with power outages?
You know, according to their letter, I think periodic, just like anyone. I mean, we're the Village of Bath Gas and Electric, you know, has a pretty good system as a resident being on that. You know, we have infrequent power outages, but they're not immune to issues. Just like we have the generator for this building. Certainly there have been periodic issues and could be issues in the future. So having generating backup, in my opinion, is a good idea.
Aaron, this is Hilda. I have a question.
Hilda, Carol had just started saying something. I'll get to you after she finishes. Okay. No problem.
My question is, these requests that are not solely for the county, if we put them on hold and look at it at the end of the process and see if we have extra money available?
You certainly can. You have complete discretion of how you want to handle this. The funds have to be obligated by 24 and spent by 26. So you certainly have time should you choose to do that. And I will send you the updated, I'm just pulling it up now. I will send you the updated tracking sheet to figure that out. But right now for that's not the right one. Yes. Anyhow, yes, you have that ability while I work to pull this up.
Hilda, and then after Hilda, Mike has a question too.
And I was going to ask similar question that Carol had, that, you know, let's see what the final number would be, because she was saying that it's not really a firm number. I think we could wait to get the better total and then put it to the end to decide.
Thank you. Mike?
Interesting is that he built that brand new building out there and put a generator in.
Well, I think they probably took into consideration the quality of Bath Gas, Electric, and Water system. So. It is a pretty local utility that when things have gone out, I've had an office in Bath for a decade, and we, you know, longest power outage that I've had is been pretty short, maybe yeah. Half a day, if that, probably not even that.
They had that rolling blackout when they were fixing something, but you knew ahead of time that it was coming.
Yeah, there it was, what, 5-6 years ago now when we had that couple day event, but now that they've restructured their distribution system and storage system, it's been very reliable.
Go ahead, James.
My question is also kind of, I guess, towards Jack. Do we have a, for lack of a better word, classification matrix, some sort of system that is judging the requests on basically a priority basis using some sort of calculus? I'm just wondering because I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, it's a good question. And we, at the very beginning of this process, so...
No, we're the judge.
Yeah, last summer, we brought that issue up to see if that would be desirable for the legislature, and the collective decision was, let's take them one at a time.
Got it. Okay.
Scott.
I don't know where this $60,000 number came from. It's, I mean, I have a 400 amp service on my farm. I have a 20 kW generator that costs $12,000 to have it installed. It runs on natural gas. I am not interested in funding this when we have highway shops that don't even have backup generators, and the few that do are old military style, according to Eric, that aren't always maintained or tested. I would rather us equip our highway shops, which actually have an emergency component to their operation versus a building that houses animals.
Kelly.
I just wanted to say it would be better to view this request if they actually had a plan in place with a solid quote for exactly how much it was going to cost, and also a plan in place for we're considering doing this project. We're raising the funds to do it. But since you have this pot of money, would you consider helping us to defray some of the fundraising costs? But instead, it just looks like it's a request to our open checkbook, and I'm not really interested in funding it either.
Yeah, and if I could, Bob, I'll come to you in just a second, interject on what and support what Carol and Hilda had said. I think that there are some items that we get that are obvious, like, you know, the soil and water issues when we're having major flooding issues and things like that. And on some of the rest of them, I think, you know, we could talk about them like we've done today on what our general feeling is, but, you know, table them or, you know, for later to be able to decide when we're looking at being further out, closer to our deadline for when we have to have things taken care of, because I think that there's some uses that we can probably have for some of this money that will have a large impact on the community and that we ought to probably evaluate them together. But Jack.
Okay. So just an update in terms of ARPA in general. So the interim final rule, the final rule for that has been adopted. And so it's been clarified. Remember, you have $16.8 million. For ease, Treasury has adopted a final rule that $10 million can be considered revenue loss instead of the nine and change that we had. I'm sorry, not 16.8, 18.6. I shorted you a couple million dollars there. I shorted you. Yeah. So $10 million you can write off. Now, how you choose it, under the old metric where there was about $9 million left with that $6.5 million estimate for the buildings projects, you had about $700,000 left in unrestricted. But again, the question, and we'll bring it to you, because the restricted, really the thing that's hanging out there is broadband. And, you know, obviously we're still waiting on that NTIA grant and hopefully here soon. But as we talked last month, conversations, you know, pretty soon, in my opinion, we'll bring to you kind of fast and furious about how much you want to allocate towards broadband. So I just wanted to provide that context for you that things are in flux a little bit.
So Kelly, did you have any other thoughts about this with that in mind? Or?
No, I just want to allocate all of it to broadband because I just know how frustrating it is at my place. And Chris Brewer did send me a link for something I could get through AT&T to help bridge the gap. But I have other options as far as where I can get access to high-speed internet. But I'm sure there are plenty of residents in our county that do not. So, I mean, to me, it's as vital as running water and electricity, and we really need to make sure everybody has it.
I just love Kelly's approach to this because it goes back to the old theory, squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Bob, did you want to say something?
What I was going to say, a lot of the, I imagine the outages that Bath Electric and Gas has is the main issue is transmission line. SREC struggles with that too. NYSEX lines go down and then you're out, you know. If the transmission line come in the Bath goes down, you know, they're all out. So it's just what it is. It's a transmission line getting it from Niagara or wherever it's coming from to here. And every once in a while, NYSEC lines go down. So, and it, you know, it ain't the end of the world for a building that has animals in it. They can open a door or something for ventilation. I mean, a lot of farms around, you know, they survive without electric every minute.
It seems like a lot of money for very little use.
That's what I was getting to. Yeah.
Okay. I want to try and wrap up this discussion, but John, do you have something?
Well, Jack went over the unrestricted money from ARPA. Are you saying that we have $750,000 left out of that?
So approximately.
So how much is allocated for the buildings that we set out there and we're going to redo?
An estimate of $6.5 million. And that's a conservative estimate. It would probably be less than that, but that's, you know, the initial budget estimates. And we did, the about $700,000 is the estimate if you're using half of the money is restricted and half is unrestricted. If you use the full $10 million, then, you know, you're adding essentially $2 million more that can be unrestricted should you choose. But again, that's going to be have to be conversations about, then that drops it to about $6.8 million that you have available for broadband instead of eight.
So I just think that Carol's idea is probably the best. Just put these things on hold and let's see what we end up with.
And
then review them down the line.
And I do think, if I could real quick, that, you know, word is traveling around some of these organizations that, oh, the county has money. So that's why you're getting these requests kind of in waves like that.
Okay. So do we want to talk about the Corning Area Chamber one in the same vein? Do you want to talk about that for a minute, or
I do.
Did you guys want to vote on?
I'll make a motion.
What was your motion?
To put this on hold, to put the SPCA's request on hold until we know more data about what the cost is and how much money we have left.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So the motion was to put it on hold. Just okay. All right.
I just think the numbers that they're talking about are out of line with what everyone else would be spending money on.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not inclined to grant the request, but I don't mind putting on hold to look at compared to the other stuff. Thanks for that clarification. Corning Area Chamber, Jack?
Sure. And this has been sent to you as well. I have to speak very highly of the Corning Area Chamber of Commerce. It's been a pleasure to work with Denise, Maxa, and her crew. They've helped us tremendously through COVID. That said, a request of revenue replacement is something, if you're looking from a recommendation, sort of wholly outside of what you folks have done before. They do have a county connection in the sense that they've helped us with COVID. Obviously, they're important to the businesses that they represent. But I just personally fear that revenue replacement, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of organizations that have lost revenue that could be then coming to you. So just my thoughts.
James?
I agree with Jack, but I might be interested in reimbursing them on some of those technology purchases for virtual meetings. That kind of was a way for them to stay up and running, which I think is an important organization to the county. So it is $1,009.05. If we can partial out this request.
Yeah, you have the ability to do whatever you would like.
This is Hilda. Can I speak?
Go ahead.
So I agree with James. I had actually thought the technology piece and the PPE piece were things that I think we could support. And I would like to see us maybe put on hold the rest for the same reason or very similar reason as the SPCA's request.
John?
My feeling is if we're going to sit out there and start allocating money to a certain portion of the county, we should do it for everybody within this county.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If there's one chamber of commerce, there's probably
five. Exactly.
When Jack sent me this a week ago, I'm like, are they serious? I mean, this is a member-based organization. and they want us to basically build their budget for them or replace their budget because they're out of operation right now with ARPA money. That is not what ARPA money was intended for.
Jeff?
I think my battery died because it's on.
I would just like to say I agree with Scott. When I actually read the request, I actually got a little frustrated that, you know, maybe technology, that's one thing, but technology, we all had to change that in our local towns. We had to buy new computers, set up different systems. But when they even asked for replacing the money in their reserves,
yeah,
but we took money out of our reserves too. Everybody did.
Do we have any motion either way on it? Or
I'll move to vote on this right now. Instead of, I don't think we should delay this one.
So you moved to not grant it, essentially?
Well, I heard that somebody wanted to move or to delay this with the SPCA one, but I'd say we just vote on it now. So I move. Basically, just motion.
Do we have a second?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Well, we're just going to move.
You have the ability. You could make a motion to reject if you want, or if no motion to approve. Right. If you don't have a motion, then
I'll just sit then. shut my mouth.
Do we have any sort of motion related to this, or are we just moving on?
Looks like it.
All right. SPCA allocation for third and fourth quarters.
Yes. So sent you information on that. Obviously, as mentioned the last time, there was one case that was closed in August and the animals were signed over. I was made aware yesterday that this other case has closed, but the animals have not been signed over yet. And I have worked this morning to figure out why and to make sure that that gets done. In long story short, the third and fourth quarters combined would be $20,249. And we do have the funds available in the 2022 budget. So we don't need, there is $5,000 that was carried over into that capital project, but we have enough funds in the budget to cover this. And the hope is, absent any other cases, the hope is that we will work with law enforcement and make sure these animals are signed over and costs are stopped.
Can you explain what the sign over process involves, Jack?
That might be, I'm not sure from the legal standpoint in courts, what happens. It has to be a court action. My understanding.
There was an attorney asking you a leading question, Jack. Yeah. You need to recognize. Yeah.
And
those.
I was smart enough to punt to the other attorney.
I don't remember exactly, but I think Jack is correct. I mean, when we looked at it before, it requires the court order as to the disposition.
So we need the district attorney to move on it?
Yeah, what might complicate this one is I believe this was the individual that passed away.
Yeah.
So I think that's might be part of the complication that in the process of this, that individual died who was charged.
Okay, so you're going to work on pushing that along, yes. Right, Jack? Okay. Do we have a motion, Jeff?
Just one little comment. With him passing, we just want to make sure that doesn't get forgotten about.
Yes.
You know, that it doesn't get, you know, I mean, not that I'm saying anything bad about this.
No.
It's just that if we have a deceased person, we want to make sure that doesn't just go on the bottom of a court pile because they're deceased.
Agreed, and we will make sure that it's taken care of.
Do we have a motion for paying them? This was a 21,000 and change?
20,249.
Second.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Curious, Jack?
If I could just make another comment about ARPA.
Yes.
Another, and again, I think it's, you know, one of those where everyone, not just for county, but I think towns or towns, villages, and cities are also trying to find their way into how these funds are spent. We have, I just wanted to make you aware, and I let the chairman know, and I believe I sent a letter maybe sometime last year, but I was contacted by a few municipalities and then also Three Rivers Development that conveyed that in terms of municipal projects, instead of, you know, considering any potential allocations that might go to a municipality themselves, say a municipality directly requested ARPA funding of you. What these municipalities, City of Corning, City of Hornell, and then Three Rivers Development sent a letter saying what they would recommend, and we've talked about this a little bit in the past, is instead of making a municipal allocation, because then that's that precedent of, you know, what do you fund, what don't you fund, is additional funds for the land bank from ARPA, because that impact, that has the ability to impact any municipality within Steuben County. They're very supportive of that. And obviously the land bank has done good things in multiple municipalities throughout the county. So I just wanted to share that information, that feedback from those municipalities with you.
Bob?
Would that be part of the restrictive fund or the unrestricted?
That would likely be unrestricted. The only, there are the requirements for restricted funding, it has to have resulted from an impact from the pandemic. So if there was
a... somebody who didn't get evicted and ruined the house.
Yeah, that's...
just throw that out there.
I know. There's... and that's kind of that gray, you know, that gray area there. But yeah, it would likely be unrestricted funds.
See, the rural towns, which I got one, and we got no water and sewer. And Armstrong's in our territory, so everybody's got high-speed internet. So we struggle with how to spend the restricted funds. So that's why I was asking that. We can always spend the unrestricted funds on lots of things, but the restricted, it limits some of the real rural towns on how to spend it. You know, if you don't have water, sewer, and you got internet, high speed internet, you know, kind of restriction.
He's kind of throwing that in your face, isn't he, Kelly?
but it's an issue for the smaller
Bobby,
rural towns.
You can always move it to Kelly's township, yeah. Sitting out there as a gift.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's one of the things that I'd like to talk about next month, and I'd wanted to this month, but I don't think I did a good enough job following up on it. Hilda sent me some goals, and I'd like for everybody to be thinking about for this committee goals, and if maybe you could get them to me mid-month, like Carol requested from us on the Health and Human Services Committee. I think it would be a good time to talk, even thinking about economic issues related to ARPA or whatever, that we, you know, how we should be prioritizing things. And I think that with, you know, agency requests, municipal requests, this is just my opinion on it, but when we talk about things like land bank donations or high-speed internet, that I think we should be considering that having a county share that will essentially also require some local municipal and or, you know, landowner type funding to make our money go farther, because a lot of other municipalities got money as well. And not everybody has Armstrong in their small town, like, you know, like the southern part does. So, and it may even be a discussion with Corning and Hornell and places like that want to see the land bank of putting, you know, yeah, we might be interested in it, but what are you going to be putting in as well? Because, you know, we're not the only ones who have ARPA funding, and maybe we could make some of our goals go a little further that way. That was a thought that I had on it. And does anybody have any other questions for Jack or related to these outside agency requests? Because that's where we're at on the agenda right now. Okay, Marsh Ditch appointment. Yes, I do have a letter. Am I the only one who got that letter? Or okay, let me see. I got to pull that name back up on my notes. Here we go. We had Dennis Acomb submitted to be part of the Marsh Ditch Association. Can we have a motion to?
I'll move it, Hilda.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Do we have any questions? Bob?
Yeah, his nickname, I see they didn't put that on there. His nickname is Worm.
Perfect for a marsh ditch.
He goes by Worm. he married into the
that is disgusting Haney
family, and his father-in-law nicknamed him Worm because he sprayed the potatoes for worms. And he goes by Worm.
Must be something.
He's a good guy. But you talk to him and he says, no, my name's Worm. He goes by Worm.
Must be something with the name Dennis. Dennis Rodman and Dennis Akum. The Worm. I think, do we have a motion and second on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Dennis the Worm Akum is on the Marsh Ditch waterboard. Anything else that we have today?
So status of internet, website, emailing systems.
Yes. So Rob, just like me, if he had hair, it'd be gone. He's had staff out on COVID, so he's been taking a lot of this on. What was finally determined is that the website host transferred to a new server that didn't accept the old website code. And so what they've been doing is getting all, and we have tens of thousands of pages, but getting especially the ones that we've received feedback on, the public health, the ArcGIS for tax assessment, you know, all the real property tax stuff. We have a call this afternoon with another hosting company. So he's coming up with a workaround and hoping to get that ASAP to get that up and get that hosted. But
we switched to a different hosting company originally because of costs.
I don't know. To my knowledge, we've been with this one for a while. So they did a server migration, and the servers that they went to without us knowing didn't accept our code. The host, correct. So it's the same company. We didn't change companies. They just did a server migration, and when they upgraded their servers, our code didn't work.
How the hell could they not know that before they did it?
It's a major problem, and we will not be with that company any longer.
Wow.
And their responsiveness, most of their operations are overseas, and it's been challenging to get any response from a technical support standpoint.
You could call Peggy.
Yeah.
Peggy is the one you need to talk to.
So they've been working to essentially recreate on our own.
Wow.
To stand it back up. And it took days. The issue is it took days to be able to get that original source data for the website from the company so that we could then migrate it somewhere else. So work in progress. I'll have Rob send you a status update by email. I'm just relaying what he shared with me, but yeah, so you can have the latest, but
perhaps Jack, this is something where we could require a hosting company located here in the US.
We certainly could.
So Jack, do we think we've lost? Do you think we've lost any data or anything?
No.
Or are we going to be okay? No.
We're going to be okay on that side. It's just the access to it.
Okay.
We have, to my knowledge, we have access to everything that was on the website. It's just a matter of people can't access that website because the code can't be read.
Oh.
Yep. Not something we, and it took a couple, well, it took almost a week to figure out that was the source of the problems. Originally, we thought it was they migrated and didn't transfer the security certificate.
Yeah, that's what I had heard last week.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that happened once before, and that was solved within a matter of an hour because they just posted the certificate and it was fine. But then come to find out it was an issue of the source code.
Anything else? Motion adjourned. Anyone?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Thank you.